I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
It started quietly enough. A couple of stories got a couple of shares on social media, and then they got a few more. And then some public figures shared them. And then some politicians. And then it kept going. It is still going, in fact. This is the story of how Canada took its first fake news test of the 2019 election and flunked it badly. This is a case study of one little website, how it snookered thousands of Canadians, and what happens when you go looking for the people behind this stuff. And it is also a warning, because it's about to get a whole lot worse between now and October, and it is pretty clear that we are not as good at sniffing out fake news as we like to think we are. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Justin Ling is a reporter, a podcaster. His new podcast, Uncover the Village, is about the Bruce MacArthur case, and it comes out April 2nd on the CBC Podcast Network. Hi, Justin.
Hey, good morning.
We're talking about fake news. Specifically, we're starting with the Buffalo Chronicle, which is what? And where did you first encounter it?
Oh, where did I first encounter it? So there was a point where I think I was just sitting on Twitter and this story popped up. I think someone tweeted it at me. And they said, what is this? And I remember looking at the name, the Buffalo Chronicle, and thinking, I have no idea. You know, I'm not super up on upstate New York newspapers, so I thought maybe it's a local paper. I clicked the link, but the story, I think the first story was about this supposed deal that the federal government was going to cut for the Bank of Montreal. Supposedly, the Bank of Montreal had been engaged in what was called essentially a bribery campaign to get First Nations in British Columbia on board with the Trans Mountain Pipeline.
Wow.
Supposedly, that bribery campaign ran afoul of the criminal code and that there was a prosecution in the works.
That's now, juicy.
Oh, yeah. Huge, huge scoop for the Buffalo Chronicle. Not only that, though, but the new attorney general had been seeking a deferred prosecution agreement so that the Bank of Montreal wouldn't get convicted.
Okay.
And I'm reading this and I'm going, I know this is nonsense. It's complete, just made up BS. You know, of course, you can't give a deferred prosecution agreement to someone who's not being prosecuted. Bank of Montreal is not being prosecuted. Bank of Montreal had a stake in the acquisition of the Trans Mountain Pipeline by the federal government. It's not bribing for – it just completely defies logic, all the details that are in the story.
Yeah.
And yet, I kind of do a Twitter search and it's being shared. Yeah, it's steadily. It's going around. And I'm thinking, what the heck is this site? What is the Buffalo Chronicle?
Yeah.
So, you know, at first it's just a little bit of, you know, weird curiosity. You kind of look through the site, look through some of the other coverage. They don't cover Canada. The most they've done is they've linked back to some stories, a lot of local Montreal stories. They posted a handful of Canadian Press stories that, best I can tell, they're not a Canadian Press client, so they stole the story and just posted it to their website.
Okay. Do they cover Buffalo, for the record?
Yeah, they do cover Buffalo. They actually are the only things they cover are really, really inside baseball Buffalo City Hall,
okay,
a little bit from the New York State Assembly, and then random Canadian stories. So it's a real mixed bag of a website.
Okay.
A couple lifestyle stories here and there, a couple columns. So I'm now intensely curious about what the site is. So I check in. It doesn't strike me that it's going to be a huge issue. So I kind of leave it. But I check back every once in a while, and just the story after story. There's a story saying that Jody Wilson-Raybould is going to run for the NDP. She's going to become NDP leader. She's going to oust Jagmeet Singh and be the new leader of the NDP. There's a story on there claiming that a former Supreme Court justice is actually the puppet master behind everything from the Trans Mountain acquisition. There's two things I really focus on this website: the Trans Mountain acquisition by the federal government, mm-hmm, and this deferred prosecution agreement for SNC-Lavalin. Supposedly, this former Supreme Court justice was behind all of it. He was the puppet master pulling the strings behind Justin Trudeau and Jody Wilson-Raybould and everybody.
The deep state.
Yeah, exactly. There's a deep state, and it's by Frankie Iabucci, the former Supreme Court justice. So that's fun. So more and more these stories pop up.
How are these stories reported, by the way? Who writes them? Who's quoted in them? Just give me an example.
Well, so there's no bylines on the story, so we don't know who the journalist is behind them, right? Okay. But they're all written in exactly the same voice. And they're written quite well, I actually should say. And what's so clever about them, and this is a really common tactic for fake news sites. So in the 2016 campaign, you saw this tactic used aggressively by well-done fake news. And what they do is they will write up what is, in effect, maybe kind of a pithy summary of the actual news that's out there. So there will be sort of a couple paragraphs about the SNC-Lavalin affair and about why Jody Wilson-Raybould resigned from cabinet and, you know.
You kind of situate it in reality first.
Exactly. And there'll be links to real news outlets, right? So there'll be links to real news stories. So, maybe 60% of the story is, maybe not totally accurate summaries, but generally based in reality. Mm-hmm. And then 40% will be, sources close to Andrew Scheer confirm that the conservative leader is well aware of the Bank of Montreal bribery scheme, but is keeping it in his back pocket for the election. I'm sorry, no. The Buffalo Chronicle does not have well-placed sources close to Andrew Scheer. And, if they did, I bet you some other people would know about this before they did. They're basically just inventing things, that buttress these huge claims. And, and that's what's so clever about it. And when people read these, they read through and they see, oh, yeah, I know that's true. I've seen that reported elsewhere. And they go, oh, sources close to Andrew Scheer.
It's a new development as opposed to like a whole new story. And who's sharing it?
Oh my God. So, I've done a little bit, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes just how much something is being shared without, some high-priced social media analysis software. So any numbers I'm going to give you are going to be kind of rough.
Yep.
But we're looking at tens of thousands of shares on Facebook, thousands of tweets. It was posted to Reddit. Reddit, to their credit, sniffed it out as being fake news pretty quickly. Good job, Reddit. Facebook, Twitter, thousands of times, numerous kind of meme, anti-Trudeau meme pages shared it widely that was in turn shared thousands of times, hundreds of comments, thousands of likes. On Twitter, you saw it shared by two members of parliament, both conservatives, a conservative senator, former Dragon's Den dragon, Brett Wilson.
Okay.
And of course, he has 150,000 followers, so that went pretty widely after that.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Kinsella, former liberal strategist who's now has a real hate on for the prime minister, and a handful of others. It went wide, and there was verified accounts. The little blue check mark on Twitter confirmed they're a real person, they're a real public figure. They were sharing these stories. Brett Wilson even shared it, saying, it's so funny. I love the way he phrased it. He didn't even delete this tweet yet. He has not acknowledged that he was sharing fake news. He shared it and said, if even 10% of this story is true, it's a huge deal. And then in brackets, he says, I believe it's 100% true. You idiot. It's not.
Very nice.
It's just like you've set yourself up to get played there, and you got played.
But that's the essence of why people are sharing this, right? Because it confirms exactly what they would love to think is true or believe.
So I have a real problem in this country, and that this country seems to think it is too smart for fake news.
Yeah, this is what we're going to get to. Yeah, go.
There was a tone that came out of, I think after the 2016 presidential race, there was a tone that came out when the federal government was talking about new rules or requirements or strategies or tactics to fight fake news and misinformation. There was a tone that came out, and it was, we're too smart for this. We're not, thanks government, thanks for your concern.
Look at those idiot Americans.
Exactly. Those dumb Americans fell for it. But we're Canadians. We're a little too smart for that. Well, I have news for you. We're not. We are just dumb enough to fall for this. And we fell for it with aplomb, just happy glee. We walked right into the story. And you know why we did? Because rabid partisanship in this country has just completely put up blinders to just basic critical reading. People were so gleefully happy to share and read and dig into a story that was critical of the prime minister or the liberal government that they were willing to just put all suspicion or critical thinking aside and share just with blind glee. And that's really depressing. And it's not depressing because it's critical of the prime minister. It's depressing because you fell for news that is fake. It's just as likely that future fake news will target Andrew Scheer or the Conservative Party or the NDP or whoever. This is not a thing that's limited to the Liberal Party. They just happen to be in power right now.
Tell me what happened, and you sort of hinted at it a little bit there. What happened when you dug in a little deeper to what the heck the Chronicle actually is?
So
how'd you do that?
when I first started looking at the Buffalo Chronicle, you know, I'm curious, and I, you know, I'm looking through the website, and according to the website, the owner is actually a guy, or the managing editor is actually a guy named Terrence Robinson. He's a former Green Party candidate in Buffalo for the municipal election. So I dig up his phone number and I call him up and I say, "Hey, Terrence, you know, I'm asking about some of these stories you're publishing on the Buffalo Chronicle." And he goes, "Buffalo Chronicle, what's that?" And I'm like, "Oh, okay, okay." So now I'm seeing what's going on here. So I start explaining it to him, and he goes, "Oh yeah, I thought that was a Facebook page. I have no idea what it is. I've never read it. I've never been on there. I don't run it. I don't own it. I've never written. Like, I don't know what
I have
it
no
is.
No affiliation."
He had no idea. He tells me, "Oh yeah, so that's Matt Ricciassi's page." And he goes, "Yeah," and he goes, "That guy's a bit of a loose cannon." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So, you know, I hang up. He goes, "If I can help you out at all, I don't want to, you know, piss off our Canadian friends. So if I can help in any way."
Nice.
That was very nice. I'm like, "Thank you, Terrence." So, you know, I go and I find Matt Ricciassi's phone number. And I call him up and I say, "Okay, are you the guy behind the Buffalo Chronicle?" He confirms that he is. And I start asking him, you know, what is behind these stories? And he says, I have two journalists. One is an Indigenous woman in British Columbia. I have another one as well. I think he later kind of said that they were somewhere in central Ontario. He said, you know, those journalists, you know, have these sources and have this research. And I said, well, can you give me their names?
So he's defending the entire
Oh, 100%.
All the
stories. Oh, just double down from the first second. And I said, well, can I have their names? He goes, no, I promise to protect their names. He later kind of says that he needs to protect them from retribution. He later framed it as a freedom of the press issue, which he wildly misunderstands. You know, he seems to think shield laws around journalist sources also protect the journalist names. That's not true, Matt.
Yes.
Anyway, so we keep going back and forth. And I said, listen, are you going to give any information around how you got these stories or any collaboration behind these you know, big scoops you're claiming? And he basically says no. Because if you have any factual inaccuracies, send them to me and I'll correct them. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. How do you fact check a claim that is just completely pulled out of thin air?
Yeah.
Anyway, we go back and forth in email a bit. He ultimately refuses to give me those reporters' names because, you know, spoiler alert, I don't think they exist. But, you know, we kind of went back and forth. And I kind of hemmed and hawed. And I had to do the math of, like, you know, is it worth writing a story about this rinky-dink site? Has it tricked enough people that, you know, kind of qualifies it for you know, attention? And so I left it alone for a little while, but as time went on, the stories kind of got more outlandish and the people sharing them kind of exponentially grew. This site was, you know, getting, I'm sure it was getting tens and thousands of hits every day, right. If not more than that. And people were, you know, going at mainstream outlets saying, you know, you're fake news, why aren't you covering this huge scoop the Buffalo Chronicle got? And, you know, it got to the point where I said, listen, you know, someone needs to call these guys out. Otherwise, you know, otherwise you're going to go online. Some reasonable person will see this Buffalo Chronicle story and go, "Ooh, what's the Buffalo Chronicle?" And we'll plug it into Google, you know, is Buffalo Chronicle legit? And there'll be nothing there, right? There'll only be Buffalo Chronicle stories. And that's bad. So I you know, I finally decided I'm going to write a big story on this. Initially, I was talking to the Globe and Mail. The Globe, in the end, it didn't want the story I had written, which is totally fine. But I reached out to him saying, you know, I'm writing a story probably for the Globe and Mail. Matt Ricciassi responds by saying, we're not going to give comment to any publication that might be taking federal support money for the media industry. So until you can confirm, the Globe and Mail will turn down any public dollar, we won't be commenting, which is deeply hilarious. So I said, great.
Thanks.
He refused comment. Have a great time. He, you know, he then threatened to sue me, which is, you know, par for the course for this sort of thing. So it ended up going on Canada Land. I wrote this kind of bigger story about the Buffalo Chronicle and what it means, because, you know, whatever. It's a rinky-dink site that some huckster has put together to trick all of us.
Yeah, but it's a great example.
It's a great example. It's a parable for how easily tricked we are, but how rabid partisanship has turned us into these automatons who care more about scoring for their side or the other side getting dragged down in the mud, that we don't care if what we're sharing is a political tool, if it's untrue, if it's fake news. And I think we have to be very careful about that. I mean, you know, do we care more about you know, the political cut and thrust, or do we care about the health of democracy and media? And obviously, you know, everyone likes to say the latter, but unfortunately for many, it's the former.
We talked to Jesse Hirsch this week about Facebook and what it's doing around the Canadian election. And the point that he made was, sure, it's very good that Facebook is joining, will comply with the government regulations around political ad transparency, and hooray, and that'll be good for the election. But that won't combat any of what you're talking about here, which is your uncle or aunt sees a Buffalo News Chronicle article and shares it because they just don't know. And there's a whole list of these sites that we saw in 2016 that look exactly like regular news sites, and they have legit sounding names. Is this the first of many that we're going to see in Canada?
Yeah, it probably is the first of many. And if Facebook and Twitter claim that they're doing anything to combat this, they're probably lying to us. The reality is Facebook has picked a very narrow kind of path they're going down. They're saying, if you're going to put money behind any of these articles, you're going to put money to get these articles in front of people's eyeballs, we're going to tell you who bought that ad and maybe how much they spent and who the actual person's name is who bought the article. They were very slow to even roll that much out in Canada and are just doing so now. We had requested that sort of thing, that sort of tool in Canada going back 6-8 months when it was already available in America, and Facebook dragged their feet on it. So no, Facebook did not get any credit for any of this. Twitter doesn't really do anything. I mean, you know, I think there's some transparency tools around ad buys, but ad buys on Twitter just
aren't. And Google has opted out completely.
Google is a little better to some degree because they are a little upfront. They are a little more upfront in terms of saying they will kind of tweak their algorithm to deprioritize sites that are peddling fake news, and they'll make sure they don't get shared on the Google News page. Twitter actually, I think to some degree, actually was putting the Buffalo Chronicle on its news sort of page, on its Moments page, which is not good. I saw one screen cap that suggested that they were pushing the Buffalo News story, the Buffalo Chronicle story, to people as like legit news, which is not good. I've been told the Buffalo Chronicle claims that Google News bumped them off the news page, which is good. But beyond that, you know, to some degree, I do want more. You know, Facebook claimed that they're doing this big, news integrity push so that when a news story shows up in your feed that is suspect, that there'll be some sort of fact check underneath
it. Yes, I saw it on The Onion and The Beaverton, and that's about all I've seen it on so far.
Yeah, where is that? This is a perfect example of actual fake news. Where is that caveat? Where is that? They didn't have a partnership with the AFP. Where is the AFP fact check at the bottom of the Buffalo Chronicle page? It's not there. You know, if you search for the Buffalo Chronicle, it still shows up very high on Google. If you're searching for the news stories, they're right up there, probably above my story. So, you know, they get credit for the little tiny things they've done, but if they're claiming that they're putting an end to, you know, this misinformation being shared widely, they're just not doing so.
You are number two right now behind the Buffalo Chronicle.
Yeah, there we go.
It's outranking you, and it's Facebook pages right after your piece.
Yeah, so not great. But fundamentally, we also can't expect Facebook and Twitter and Google to do all of this work for us. If we're the ones that are going to get tricked here, then we can't pass the buck and say, you know, it's Facebook's fault that I got tricked. That being said, you know, the outrage that goes around these stories does promulgate them, you know, much farther on social media than they would have ever gotten, you know, in the olden days, right? So the fact that there's a Stop Trudeau Facebook meme page, you know, with probably tens of thousands of likes who shared this story, you know, then ensured that it would go to a wider network of people who want to stop Trudeau. And
their interest is not in the veracity of the news story.
No.
Their interest is solely in, does this make Trudeau look bad?
Yeah, in the emotion of, I want Trudeau gone, therefore I don't care if it's true or false, I want it to go wide. And, you know, that is the entire concept behind, you know, political memery. You know, that's why sites like North 99 and Ontario Proud do so well. It's frustrating because to some degree, Facebook especially has built a platform that by its very nature encourages that sort of wide, angry sharing, whether it's true or not.
The emotional click.
That's right. You know, Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg recently made some comment along the lines of, you know, I want this platform to be kind of localized again. I don't want this, you know, big open platform. But you know what? This is what you want. This is how you make money. This is the exact premise of the entire website. Unless you're going to shut it down and start again, I don't actually take you know, with any sort of confidence, his comments that he's going to fundamentally alter how this website works. This is what Facebook is. This is the core of what Facebook is now, is this, you know, wide open tundra of nonsense. And that, bums me out. So the solution to this is probably not governmental. We probably can't expect much from the social media companies. This is personal responsibility. You need to be personally responsible for the nonsense you share online. I think to some degree, we have to actually put this on the political parties themselves to discourage that rabid partisanship. You know, when Andrew Scheer comes out and says, you know, the prime minister is guilty of obstruction of justice and he needs to be removed from office, that plays directly into the people who are holding signs saying Trudeau for treason. You know, we have to realize that there's a connection there. You know, when any political leader just starts ratcheting up this rhetoric to the point where it's an us versus them dichotomy, yeah, of course you're going to get people whipped up to the point where they're going to happily ingest and then share news that is total nonsense, because ultimately it's all about the game of politics. It's not about democracy or truthfulness or media or, you know, the integrity of our journalism.
To end on the Buffalo Chronicle again, is this a new frontier, the idea of taking a site that does some local journalism and ingesting fake news into that so that you kind of have this mix of things that are very credible or at least somewhat credible with things that aren't? What's the next step in fake news, I guess?
So that's not an especially new tactic.
Okay.
What we actually saw for some time, it was sort of a du jour for a while, and I think they've sort of left it because I'm not sure it was super effective, but we know that Russian disinformation agents actually had a habit of scooping up and buying up Facebook pages that used to share, you know, funny memes or cat videos, and then slowly inserting pro-Russian propaganda into them, and using that huge that huge fan base to reach new audiences. And I think we've seen that to some degree from other fake news sites as well. You know, 40% of the content is, you know, just innocent, run-of-the-mill, you know, movie reviews, and 60% is, you know, wild-eyed conspiracy theories about Bashar al-Assad. So it's not exceptional. And from what I can tell, from what I've been told, the Buffalo Chronicle has peddled in some fake news going back a couple of years,
okay.
Mostly New York-centric. But is there anything kind of exceptional about the Buffalo Chronicle? No. And that's actually maybe what's most frustrating of all, is that, you know, this was a very low barrier to get over. This was a very low hurdle to jump over. And we tripped over it immediately. You know, like, this was probably one of the weakest fake news efforts that I've seen in a while. And we just tripped over the first hurdle as we came to it.
That's not a good sign for the next 6 months.
And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse as we get closer to an election. You know, next time this happens, it could be by somebody who's much more plugged into the Canadian political scene. It could be by somebody who has a much more nefarious purpose in mind. You know, I don't think the Buffalo Chronicle had any intent beyond just trying to whip up some clicks and maybe trying to insert itself as a player in the media scene. What happens when, you know, either the Russians or the Chinese government or the Iranian government decide that they're going to get into this game and start sharing information that is going to, you know, poison the well against support for Israel, or they're going to poison the well over support for independent Kurdistan, or they're going to, you know, whip up fervor against Jagmeet Singh for being a Sikh, or, you know, there's a thousand different things that can be done here that are much more nefarious and weaponized that could have a much more terrifying impact than the Buffalo Chronicle has had. And so that's why I think the Buffalo Chronicle is a great example, because it's almost a little more inane. But we should look at this and study this to make sure that when the next thing happens, we're a little more prepared.
Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
You're welcome.
Justin Ling, one of Canada's fake news experts and an expert podcaster, too. Another reminder, check out Uncover the Village. It's dropping April 2nd. That was The Big Story. For more from us, including past episodes with Justin Ling, you can find us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can find us at frequencypodcastnetwork.com. You can find us on social media. We're in a lot of places. Our news is not fake, though. We're at TheBigStoryFPN, and we are on every platform at Frequency Pods on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We're also wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. The Big Story is produced by Claire Broussard. Ryan Clark is our associate producer. Annalisa Nielsen is our digital editor. Stephanie Phillips is an assistant producer / research assistant / everything else that we need around here. She does it all. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We'll talk Monday.
My name is John Cullen, and I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and curling. It's the story of Broomgate, how a single broom, yes, a broom, turned friends into foes and almost killed the 500-year-old sport of curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.